Welcome to the Anonymous Andrew Podcast, Life and the Choices We Make, your online compass for navigating the wide world of modern dating. Whether you're swiping left, swiping right, or meeting someone in the real world, I'm here to help you make the best choices on your journey to finding love. In this season, I'm diving deep into the world of dating apps, breaking down what makes a killer profile, and how to spot the red flags in others. We'll also explore how to connect with someone special in real life and the art of striking up a conversation that actually leads somewhere. We will also tackle the tough stuff, like healing from past relationships and learning how to build healthier, stronger connections moving forward. So whether you're new to the dating scene or just looking for fresh insights, join me as we explore the highs and lows of modern romance. It's time to swipe smart, date better, and find the love that truly fits. Greetings and welcome to another weekend rant with Anonymous Andrew. Yeah, weekend rant seems to be the most favorite part of my podcast. And yet I go out and look for all these guests so I can help you guys navigate the dating world. And all you want to do is hear me. I can't figure it out. However, this weekend, As I've said in several weekend rant episodes, I've said not every weekend there's something to bitch about, you know, and I don't want the weekend rants to become the, you know, Andrew gets on and bitches about this and that. And if you've listened to the weekend rants from the beginning, you see them evolve, all right? So in the beginning, they were about my ex-girlfriend, and then they just slowly merged or evolved into something would happen. A couple of weeks ago, God, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, I even had a weekend rant guest. My co-host Melody came on because she had some pretty bad experiences with the medical field. She got bit by a tick. She developed Lyme disease, and she couldn't get one freaking doctor for 10 days to have her come in and get examined, because ticks and Lyme disease can also leave other bacteria and other illnesses and other stuff behind. And she wanted to be tested for other tick-borne diseases, and nobody would take her in. So we had Melody on, and she gave her the story. And then I had a weekend rant a week or two later about something that I had a problem with the medical field. But I have to tell you, something this coming past week and this coming week, I must just come out and say it. I have atrial fibrillation. And if you don't know what that is, it is when the top part of the heart chamber and the bottom part do not beat in sync. So your heart pumps blood, right? So the top pumps, the bottom pumps, and they beat in a sequence. And that's how the blood goes from one chamber to the next, and yada, yada, yada. I'm not a doctor, and I don't really understand it, so I'm not going to try to explain it to you. But it's a common arrhythmia that happens in, and I don't remember the stat, but it's common. And many people just live with it. And some people can't. Sometimes it's invasive or it's serious enough that it can cause blood clots. And it can create a blood clot, which will then travel through the bloodstream and up into your brain, and you know that's where that's what a stroke is when a blood clot prevents oxygen from getting to the brain. So I've had atrial fibrillation for the better part of the last 10 years, and it has been minor. Every time I go to cardiologist, they check it and they say, hey, you're really on the low end. It's like 5 or 10%. You have 5 or 10% episodes a month, and episodes last, sometimes they only lasted 30 seconds or something, whatever. So they put me on some medication, some blood thinners and Toprol and stuff that just is supposed to help treat, not fix, but treat or to alleviate or prevent any blood clots. Well, over the past 5 months, my atrial fibrillation has increased, and it has gotten up to the point where I can now feel it. And I wear an Apple Watch. I have the Ultra 2. And the technology in that watch is pretty sophisticated because it can detect not only atrial fibrillation, but it can detect sleep apnea, which is a common cause to atrial fibrillation. Not everybody who has sleep apnea will develop atrial fib, and not everybody with AFib gets it from sleep apnea. Anyway, my watch has been telling me that my AFib has been going up. And last month, I just so happened to have a cardiologist appointment. And I went in and I showed her my watch stats. And it said that I had increased 50%. My atrial fibrillation has increased 50%. And it was pretty significant. So they put on a heart monitor on my chest where I wear for 2 weeks. And the technology has come so far because the heart monitors, I used to wear them a lot, were these big chunky, the size of like 2 or 3 cell phones, and you put them in a sack and you had to wear them on a halter. Now they're the size of like your AirPod case, you know, like if you have earbuds, and they just strap it on your chest and you wear it for 2 weeks and you don't even really know you have it on you. That's how small it is. So they put it on and they read the results, and I saw the doctor a couple days ago and they said, yeah, your AFib is way higher than it should be. And they were not, they were concerned. So I said, well, what do we do about this? And they said, well, there's some procedures we can do, and we'd like to do them with you. You're a candidate for a procedure called ablation. And of course, I don't know what the fuck that is. And he tried to explain it to me, and it sounds very scary. So they take you in to the hospital and they knock you out, general anesthesia, and they cut open a portion of the inner thigh, the groin area, and they insert a catheter, and they send the catheter up through your arteries, up to your heart, and then they do something to the heart. They burn or freeze or heat. It depends on what section of the heart is malfunctioning. Anyway, long story short is I'm having that procedure done this coming week in 3 days. No, well, today's Saturday. So actually, this coming Thursday. And I'm nervous. I am very nervous. It's a common procedure. The cardiologist said, you'll be in the morning and you'll be out by late afternoon, as long as everything goes well. And you go home and they want you to, it's bed rest for several days. So while I am a very active person, tennis, and I don't know if I told you guys last week, I picked up pickleball, I started playing, and it is a lot of fun. And I played this morning. Oh, God, I played 2 hours of pickleball. It was great. And yes, again, the women on the pickleball court were amazing. There were 3 women alone that I had my eyes on. One of them might have been married. Anyway, it's just a great way to meet people. and because this was like an open court. And near me, a pickleball court opened up, and it's got like 16 courts, and it's a huge place. And it's they have a lounge, and they have a juice bar, and they have all this stuff. And you download the app, you can book courts, and it's an open court. So you book two or three courts. You tell them what kind of, are you a beginner, intermediate, advanced, whatever. And you play with people your own rate. Like, so I'm an advanced beginner. Because I play tennis, I picked up pickleball pretty quickly. So I went in this morning, and for 2 hours, they stick about, there's three courts. So they do one, two, three, four. About 12 people were there, and I only knew one of them, my tennis partner, but within a half an hour, everybody knows everybody, and because you switch teams and you play around, you play pickleball with different people, and then when the game's over, it's a very fast game. You could play one game in anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes, it's over, and then so the next you rotate whatever. Anyway, so I'm having this procedure done. I can come back to the pickleball later because I do want to talk about it. But doctor said after I come home that night, he wants me in bed for 3 days, bed rest, because whatever they're doing to the heart, it has to heal. And he wants no exertion, so I can't play tennis next weekend. Can't play pickleball. So I figured, let me come on this weekend and talk about the weekend rant. And I want to talk something good about the medical field that really worked in my favor. I have bitched and moaned, and again, Melody came on and she had some issues with the medical field. And it's not always the medical field. It can be the insurance companies. And, you know, as I'm recording this, just a couple days ago, the CEO of United Healthcare was assassinated or gunned down in Manhattan. And it is, of course, all the buzz and all in the news. And while I don't condone that behavior, I don't think anybody should be shot and killed for running a company. How do I say this without stepping in mud? People are frustrated. I had a procedure that I needed for my heart 6 months ago that was denied. They said no. I needed an electrocardiogram where they go in with sonar and they check out the heart. And I have a couple of heart problems. All right, I used to have very high blood pressure. That's under control. But I have atrial fibrillation, as I explained. And I also have a little hole in my heart. And they want to monitor it. And there may be a need for surgery in the future. Open chest surgery. And they wouldn't approve the procedure. But this week, I was told immediately that we had to go in and do this procedure. And if you are, I don't, I guess it all depends on the medical insurance you have. But my medical insurance, you have to meet a $7,500 deductible before they start paying at the beginning of the year. So when I went into my doctor's office, the cardiologist, I said, "Hey, doc," he wanted to do the procedure. And I said, I'm recording this on December 7th, and I saw him December 6th, or something like that, a couple days ago. And I said, if we can get this procedure done before the end of the year, I will be able to, my insurance company should cover it, and I don't have to pay, I'm going to have to pay something out of pocket, copay. But I said, "Doc, if you do this in January, I'm going to have to pay for this procedure, you know, $7,500 up front." And I said, I just can't afford that. And he looked at me and he said, this was Friday morning. And he said to me, "Let's do it Monday." Let's do the procedure on Monday. So the doctor heard me. He heard that financially it was going to hurt me, and he made it happen. He got the procedure, and on top of that, he called the insurance company and said to them, this patient needs this procedure and needs it now. So they approved it because they needed prior authorization. So for the first time in a while, I can say my doctor and my doctor, the insurance company came through, and my doctor, I guess, knew how to get it done. I'm very happy that this, of course, I'm very nervous. Anytime they have to do work on your heart. Anyway, I'm babbling here. It's all good. It's all good. And just by the time you hear this, this is dropping on Wednesday. No, this is today. Another episode will drop on Wednesday. And that next morning, I'm going into the hospital. So I should have a weekend rant for you next weekend, assuming everything goes well. Let's go back to my dating life. So 5 days ago, I matched on Bumble with another woman. And I keep telling you guys this. My dating profile is a catch. And once again, I'm going to put it out there. If anybody is struggling with their dating profile, you're not getting hits, or you just think it needs a makeover, I am offering for free for me to go look at your dating profile and tell you what I think you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, or what you could do better, or how you can make it nicer, whatever. So contact me, because my dating profile on both, there's two big apps that I'm on. I'm Bumble, and I'm not going to mention in a second. Each one of them, and I'm not boasting and I'm not kidding, I get a like a day, if not two. And for a guy, that's pretty good, because that's, if you think about it, that's in 1 week, I'm getting 14, 15 women liking me. That's a lot. And I've said this before. Out of that 14, I might like back two, because they don't check the boxes. They're too far. I even came across one the other day she was really, really, really cute, and she had a nice profile, but she was a smoker. I'm not dating a smoker. I smoked for all my life. I don't want to kiss a smoker. So there's going to be times when I'm going to have to swipe left and say, no, thank you. And my biggest deal breaker are long distance. I'm getting likes from, so you guys know I live outside of New York City. East of New York City. But I'm getting people from Connecticut, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and even New York City itself. I live 20, 25 miles from New York City. So it's in the suburbs and it's by the beach. But for me to date somebody in New York City, and because my commute to the city for work takes me an hour in the morning and an hour at night. I'm not going to go back to New York City during the week to date somebody. So let's say I started dating somebody in New York City. Now, when you say New York City, there's five boroughs. You got Brooklyn, Queens, Manhattan, Staten Island, and the Bronx. I'm not going to the Bronx, and I'm not going to Brooklyn. Queens is a maybe. I dated somebody in Queens 2 or 3 months ago. That's the one that kind of blew up in my face. She was really on the outskirts of Queens, closer to me. But Manhattan, a lot of these women are from Manhattan. For me, that's a 45-minute train ride or an hour and a half drive. I'm not going to Manhattan. I'm just not. I don't like Manhattan. I'm not a city guy. I've been talking about wanting to get the fuck out of New York for years. Unfortunately, I got a decent paying job with all the benefits here. Where I would like to move to, I don't know if I'll get the same money. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. So this week, just 4 days ago, I got another like. Now, this woman was right outside of New York City on the other side, the west side of New York City. And oh my God, she was a looker. 58 or something. And she has one of my... She checked a big box for me. You guys know I'm into Latinas and Orientals. Of course, I'm into I don't want to make it sound like I'm not dating. I'm not interested in the good old-fashioned American woman. Ethnicity really isn't a big... I would date any ethnicity if as long as... You're local and you check my boxes, okay? And they don't have to be all the boxes. Just, okay, I'm not going to keep repeating myself. You get the idea. But this one, she was beautiful, little far, 16 miles, something like that. But she didn't speak English. At least that's what she told me. Now, I speak Spanish. Somewhat. I spoke Spanish in high school because I visited South America. I lived in Colombia for almost a year. And when I was younger, I spoke Spanish fluently. Fluently. Because when I was in Colombia, I was taking Spanish in high school, and that's what I was a student exchange. And I came back and I spoke Spanish like a native. But nobody came up to me at 20 years old and said, well, I wasn't really 20, it was 15, 16, and said, hey, you should keep practicing your Spanish. You should maintain the Spanish. Nobody, even my parents never sat me down and said, hey, you have a skill. You're bilingual. Actually, I was trilingual because I spoke French as well. But I lost the ability to speak Spanish because I just didn't talk to anybody in Spanish after I got back. And I lost it. So fast forward 35 something years and I meet this Latina 5 years ago and she spoke English and Spanish, but I decided to start learning Spanish again. So I'm on this app called Duolingo. I may have mentioned this before. And it's, you know, you pay, I don't know, it's $80 a year or something. And it's a learning app. I'm not going to get into the details. There's like three major, you got Rosetta Stone, there's another one, I'm forgetting the name, it escapes me now. And you got Duolingo. And I chose Duolingo. And I'm learning Spanish again. But not to the point where I can speak. Like I can have a conversation. And at my job, there's a lot of Hispanics. And so I will talk to them in Spanish as much as I can. But they don't have the time. And you can't really do this at work where they can correct you or kind of guide you. So I figured this woman from, she was actually in New Jersey. We spoke in Spanish over Bumble. And I did the best I could without having to look up some words. And I ultimately came out and I finally had this, we were chatting for like 5 days. And I said to her, do you speak any English? Like, I'm doing all the work here. I'm speaking your language. I'd like you to try to speak my language. So, and she said, no, in Spanish, she said, I don't speak English. And I said, where are you from? And she said, the Dominican Republic. And I'm like, you're 58 years old. You're in America. Either you just got here or you're lying to me. Because how do you live in America and not speak a little bit of English at 58 years old? Anyway, I went with this chatting with her for about a week. And then I just said, I can't do this. She's not putting the effort in. I need her to come back and talk to me in somewhat English. And I said to her, like the second day we chatted, I said, look, I can speak a little bit of Spanish. And if I make a mistake in our text, correct me. Tell me I did something wrong. But I want you to speak to me in English as the best you can, and I'll correct you. We'll teach each other. And she was like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. Like, in Spanish, she said that, of course. But she didn't do it. She didn't speak any English. She didn't even try. And I kept asking her, try to form a sentence to me in a text message in English. The only thing I could think of is that she could speak it, but she couldn't, like, write it or text it. I don't know. But I gave up. I have too much... little time on my hands if I'm going to romance or court a woman over a dating app, and then I have to do it in a foreign language or a language that I'm learning. I don't have the time, folks. When I talk to these women, it's usually late at night, like after everything. I've gone to work, I've come home, I've eaten dinner, I've edited a podcast, I've recorded a podcast, I promote a podcast, whatever. I climb into bed, turn the TV on, I have an hour, hour and a half before I go to sleep. And if I'm texting with a woman, I'll either turn the TV off or just mute it, whatever. This woman, I was putting like two or three nights in trying to communicate with her, and she was just not reciprocating. She was just not trying hard enough. So I haven't ghosted her. I did text her last, but she hasn't responded to my text. So I think if she doesn't respond to me, that's fine. I'm going to go just wait for the next one. And there'll be another one. I will. I'll have another like. So I got a like this morning from another good-looking woman, but she's 72 fucking miles away from me. The app said her location, 72 miles. I was like, what? It's a two-hour drive. Come on. I'm not... Dating... You know, once a week, twice a week to get to know them, but I'll drive a half an hour to meet you. But if it develops into something like, I don't know, fast forward 4, 5, 6, 7 dates, and we're getting along and the chemistry and all that stuff, but we live 50 miles apart from each other, there's a problem. Because if we're going to commit, how are we going to see each other during the week? We're not. Because I don't get home till 6 o'clock at night. I'm not going to jump in my car and drive 50 miles. I'm in bed by 9:30. 10 o'clock latest. It just wouldn't work. I'm not dating somebody where I have to get in my car and drive an hour. I want somebody local. I'll tell you something funny, and then I guess we'll wrap it up today. I dated somebody before the Latina, the one from 3 years ago. And she was literally the next town over. And we dated just under 2 years. The pandemic broke us up. That's another whole story. I won't get into that. And she was okay. We had a nice relationship. We traveled, we went places, and the sex was phenomenal. But something happened during the beginning of the pandemic. I just won't get into that because it's not important. And we broke up. It was kind of a mutual breakup. And we went no contact. But guess what? She plays tennis, and we play tennis together, and we play at the same tennis club. And guess who I ran into this morning? Yeah. Let me give her a name. Dawn. I'm just going to call her Dawn. I ran into Dawn this morning. Fate, boom. I opened up the door, and I went up to the counter to check in, and she was standing right there. And it was awkward because I haven't seen her 2 years maybe. And I haven't spoken to her. I think the last time I ran into her was 2 years ago at the tennis club. And it was just a, hey, Dawn. It was that quick. Hi, Dawn. Hi, goodbye. And the same thing happened this morning. So... I have no interest in going back to her. Even if she was available, I have no idea if she's available. I I'll be honest. She didn't age well either. I know that's horrible to say, but I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast. But actually, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Oh boy. All right. I just stepped in mud. All right, folks. I think I'm going to wrap up this weekend rant. Wish me luck on my surgery, and I will be back hopefully next weekend. All right, if everything goes well with my heart procedure, I will be back next weekend to tell you all about it. All right, folks, Anonymous Andrew, stay safe. Ciao.